Thank you. So this is a joint work I did back at the University of Wisconsin-Madison with Ramanathan Arapan, Danny Liu, Vijay Chidambaram, and Professors Ramsey and Andrea Pachiduso. So storage must be robust and reliable, and one of the situations in which storage must remain robust is a sudden system crash. System crashes are more common than many of us would expect. For example, in 2016, power losses leading on to sudden system crashes caused a GitHub outage and also internet outage across the UK. In addition to power losses, system crashes might also be caused by kernel bugs, as some past research has previously observed. All layers in the storage stack need to deal with a sudden system crash, including the application layer. Applications need to implement their own crash consistency mechanism. For example, databases need to make sure that their transactions remain atomic and durable across system crash. The problem is that we already know that many applications do not implement crash consistency properly. We did a study at the University of Wisconsin-Madison of 11 popular applications, and a similar study was also done by researchers from Ohio State and HP. And the conclusion from both these studies is that all the studied applications had some form of incorrectness in their code with respect to crash consistency. One important observation from these studies is that in practice, application-level crash consistency, the correctness of application-level crash consistency, depends a lot on how file systems behave across a system crash. For example, in our study, we found that if the file system behaves badly during a system crash, 60 crash consistency vulnerabilities can be exposed across the 11 applications that we studied. However, if the file system has good behavior across system crashes, then only 10 of these vulnerabilities can be exposed. So what is good file system behavior? For the most part, this relates to file system level ordering. That is, all the updates that the user does, all the writes that the user does, must reach the disk and be stored on the disk in the same order in which they were issued by the user. They should not be reordered. Unfortunately, very few file systems currently provide very few modern file system configurations provide file system level ordering. And the reason for this is that ordering is considered bad for performance. It degrades performance. Now, in this paper, we first present a new abstraction called the stream abstraction that allows file systems to achieve both high efficiency, high performance, and provide ordering at the same time. The stream abstraction is easy to use and usually requires a single change to the user code. To the application code. However, with more changes, with more programmer effort, the stream abstraction also helps applications perform much better than is possible with even current file systems. The second part of the paper is crash-consistent file system, CCFS. This is an efficient implementation of the stream abstraction built on top of EXT4. It has high performance similar to EXT4. And we show in this paper that with CCFS applications achieve crash consistency and high performance at the same time. So that was the introduction. This is the outline of the rest of my talk. I'll first start with some background explaining the relationship between application crash consistency and file system behavior. So each file system behaves differently during a system crash, and there is little standardization of these behaviors. So how do you reason about, how do you understand how file systems behave across system crashes? Well, we reason about it by dividing file system behavior into two categories, behaviors related to atomicity and behaviors related to ordering. An example for an atomicity-related behavior is if I issue a write system call, are the effects of the write system call guaranteed to be atomic in case the system crash happens? And an example for an ordering behavior is if I create two different files and a system crash happens, after rebooting the machine, would I have observed the file creations to have happened in the same order in which I issued them, or could they be reordered? Could they have been reordered? We can further classify these behaviors into subsets. For example, we can consider the atomicity of only file operations and the atomicity of directory operations and so on. So in a previous work, we related such file system behaviors to real-world application crash consistency. And what we did was to try and find crash vulnerabilities in applications. Crash vulnerability is a spot in the application source code that can lead to inconsistency during a system crash, depending on how the underlying file system behaves during the system crash. So these are our results. Each of the rows represents a different application. As you can see, we have considered databases, key value stores, version control systems, and many popular applications. Each of the column represents a different file system configuration. And the values represent the number of vulnerabilities that are present in that particular application, in that particular file system configuration, in the safest possible configuration for the application. I have also shown the crash behavior of each of these file systems by dividing it into atomicity behavior and ordering behavior. So the first column here shows that in a file system with bad atomicity behavior and bad ordering behavior, we observe a total of 60 vulnerabilities across these 11 applications. And many of these vulnerabilities also have bad consequences if they are exposed during a system crash, including unavailability, data loss, data corruption. Under the Butterfuzz file system, which has good atomicity behavior, but it reorders a lot, we find there are 31 of these vulnerabilities are exposed. And some of the exposed vulnerabilities still have major consequences. For example, with Mercurial, we find that the repository might end up corrupted, and with Zookeeper, we find that the application might end up becoming unavailable after the system crash. In the data journal mode of EXT3, if you consider the data journal mode of EXT3, which has good atomicity behavior and also provides total ordering of all updates, we find that only 10 vulnerabilities are exposed across the applications. And even among these 10 vulnerabilities, the vulnerabilities seem to have minor consequences. For example, the vulnerability that I have shown for SQLite is essentially a mistake in its documentation. And the vulnerabilities that I have shown for Mercurial essentially results only in disk state corruption and not repository corruption. So from the study, we can summarize that the ideal behavior of a file system across a system crash with respect to application-level crash consistency is total ordering and what we call weak atomicity. What is weak atomicity? It is essentially that all files, all system calls should be atomic across a system crash, except that file writes can be split at sector granularity. Now, many modern file systems already provide weak atomicity in their default configuration, including EXT4, Butterfuzz, and XFS. However, only rarely used file system configurations in modern file systems actually provide total ordering. Example, data journaling modes of EXT4 and EXT3. So to summarize, file system behavior across system crash affects application crash consistency, and the desired behavior is total ordering and weak atomicity. However, while weak atomicity is provided by modern file systems, total ordering is not provided by them. So the next part is the stream abstraction. So if ordering is so important for application crash consistency, why not simply use a file system that already provides ordering? For example, the data journaling mode of EXT3 and EXT4. Is the reason that we are not doing that is the reason performance overhead. Actually, modern file systems have many efficient techniques that would allow them to provide ordering efficiently, including optimized forms of journaling and copy on write or log structuring. However, the problem is that irrespective of the technique that is used to provide ordering, the guarantee of ordering itself has an inherent overhead, which we call false ordering dependencies. And that is why modern file systems do not provide ordering to applications. What are false ordering dependencies? To understand false ordering dependencies, let us consider two applications, A and B. Application A first issues a huge write to file F1. And then application B writes a few bytes to files F2 and F3. And then issues an fsync call. Now, if ordering were to be guaranteed by the file system, it would mean that the huge write to file F1 has to reach the disk before the writes to files F2 and F3. And therefore, independent of the technique that you use to provide ordering, in this particular case, if you consider a normal hard drive, that fsync is going to cost you about 2 seconds, since it needs to push the 150 MB of data from file F1 to the disk. The problem here is that we are enforcing ordering between independent applications, even though this does not actually help with application-level crash consistency. And the solution is to enforce order only within an application. So in order to do this, we have a new abstraction called the stream abstraction. Ordering is guaranteed only within a stream, and writes across streams can be reordered. Each application is usually associated with one particular stream. So if we associate application A with stream A and application B with stream B, since the writes between these applications can get reordered, that fsync needs only about 60 milliseconds considering a typical hard drive. So how would a programmer actually use the stream abstraction? A programmer would use a stream abstraction by a new system call, the set stream system call. Once a programmer issues a setStream system call, all future updates in that particular thread will be automatically associated with that stream. And if that thread forks or is cloned, the child thread will adopt the stream of its parent. So using streams is easy. A programmer typically adds a single setStream call in the beginning of the application. It is also backward compatible in the sense that setStream calls would compile to a no-op if the underlying file system does not provide support for the stream abstraction. However, the stream abstraction and the setStream call is much more versatile than this. You can have multiple applications associated with the same stream. You can have a single application with each thread in the same application associated with a different stream, or you can even have a single application that switches between a set of streams. Another thing that is made easy with stream abstraction is to differentiate between ordering and durability. Past research has already shown by distinguishing between ordering and durability, applications can get much higher performance. However, past research used a different abstraction to achieve this, a different set of system calls to achieve this, and the stream abstraction makes this easier. So to summarize, if we guarantee global ordering, false dependencies will cause a lot of overhead, and our solution to this is the stream abstraction, which allows you to guarantee ordering only within an application, and writes across applications can be reordered in order to provide performance. And the stream abstraction is easy to use. The next part of the talk is crash consistent file system, CCFS. This is an efficient implementation of the stream abstraction. It is built from the EXT4 file system. The basic design of CCFS is simple. EXT4 data journaling provides global ordering, and we simply modify this to provide stream level ordering. Even though the basic design is simple, we have multiple challenges involved in actually implementing CCFS. So let me start with first explaining how global ordering is provided by EXT4 in its data journaling mode. To understand this, we need to look at two data structures, the in-memory data structure called a running transaction in EXT4 and the on-disk journal structure. Let us consider, the in-memory running transaction, whenever any application modifies anything in the file system, the in-memory running transaction records all the blocks that are modified. And when one of the applications issue an fsync call, that is when the in-memory running transaction is committed to the on-disk journal. Now, any future updates made by any application, it will be recorded in a new in-memory running transaction. And sometime in the future, the new running transaction will also be committed onto the on-disk journal. If a system crash happens at any point, the on-disk journal, the transactions recorded in the on-disk journal will be recovered atomically, and the transactions will be recovered in sequence. Because they are recovered in sequence, you end up getting global ordering. Now, in CCFS, we use multiple running transactions, one corresponding to each stream. And whenever any stream modifies any data, the modified block is recorded only in its particular transaction. And when one of the streams calls fsync, the running transaction of that particular stream is committed to the on-disk journal. So this way, order will be maintained within each stream. However, updates can still be reordered across streams. Of course, there are multiple challenges. I'll explain one of the challenges with an example. Let us consider two streams updating directory entries. So let us consider two streams that create files in the same directory, and let us assume that both of these directory entries are contained within the same block. The problem here is that with EXT4 journaling, the journaling happens as the block granularity, and here we have two streams modifying the same block. Right. So one simple solution would be to simply perform journaling at byte granularity. However, that does not work because there are many optimizations that happen after the transaction commit, which depend on things happening at block granularity. And so we cannot simply switch into byte granularity fully. The solution in CCFS is to record transactions in the in-memory running transaction, record modifications at a byte granularity. But then when you finally commit to the on-disk journal, you switch to block granularity. So in this particular example, you would commit the entire block containing the directory entries, both the directory entries. However, the version of the directory entry A that will be recorded on the on-disk journal will be the previous version before application A modified it. That was one challenge. There are more challenges. For example, in this particular, in the example that I just showed, we have two streams trying to modify the inode modification date, update the inode modification date of the same directory. So they are trying to update the same byte ranges. The directory entries that are added by both the streams might actually have pointers to each other, and this is problematic because the streams can get committed out of order. The stream B might be trying to reuse space that was just deallocated by stream A. Again, problematic because the streams can get committed out of order. We are building on top of the data journaling mode of EXT4. Which itself is somewhat inefficient. And delayed allocation, which is an important optimization in EXT4, requires reordering. And in order to make it work in CCFS, some effort is involved. We solved all these problems in CCFS. I'm not going to go into the details, but the details are present in the paper. Okay, so on to evaluation. So the first question we ask ourselves is, does CCFS actually solve application vulnerabilities? To evaluate this, we studied five applications. We used the same methodology as our previous study. However, we used newer versions of applications, and we also configured the applications to in the default configurations instead of the safest configuration. These are the results. With EXT4, with the default mode of EXT4, which does reorder writes, we find 9 vulnerabilities in total. Consistency is lost in LevelDB. Repository corruption happens in Gate and Mercurial, and Zookeeper might become unavailable. In CCFS, across these applications, we find only 2 vulnerabilities. both are in Mercurial and both relate only to dirt-state corruption. So that was correctness. Now on to performance. The results that I'm going to show you here, each of the experiments shows running an application or a workload by itself on CCFS in a single stream. So why are such experiments necessary? Why is this performance important? The reason is that false ordering dependencies, even though I explained it in terms of two different applications, false ordering dependencies might actually happen even within a single application. And in that case, in order to get good performance with the stream abstraction, a programmer has to go and divide a single application into multiple streams, which causes programmer effort. So these are our performance results. Each set of bars represents an application being run in EXT4 or CCFS. The blue bars represent EXT4. The red bars represent CCFS. Higher is better. We considered both standard benchmarks from the file bench suite and also real-world applications. So in the standard benchmarks, we can see that both CCFS and EXT4 perform similarly. The EXT4 configuration used is the default configuration, which actually reorders updates, and CCFS does not. And therefore, we can conclude. So we can see here that they both perform similarly, even though CCFS does not reorder updates. Now, with Git, the performance of CCFS is much higher here because in this particular experimentation, when running Git on EXT4, we are actually using a safe non-default configuration of Git that issues a lot of fsync calls because this configuration is needed to make Git crash consistent on EXT4 versus it's not needed for CCFS. With SQLite and LevelDB, again, the performance is similar between EXT4 and CCFS. However, with CCFS, you can differentiate between ordering and durability. It makes it easier to do that, and if you actually took the additional programmer effort to do that, you get much better performance. So to summarize the evaluation, so CCFS achieves both crash consistency and gives this achieves better crash consistency than EXT4 while providing the same amount of performance. And you can actually get additional performance with some more programmer overhead. There are, of course, more results in the paper, including what happens when you run two applications in parallel in CCFS in two different streams. So the conclusion here from this paper is that file system crash behavior is currently not standardized. Ideal file system behavior can improve application consistency. However, currently we believe that ideal file system behavior is bad for performance. What we are trying to say in this paper is that with a stream abstraction, you can actually achieve good performance and good crash consistency at the same time. And we hope we have demonstrated this using the CCFS file system. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for a couple of questions.
The first question that comes to mind is, have you tested other file systems, like commercial file systems like Quantum StoreNext or Windows NTFS or Veritas VXFS to see how they behave for the same tests?
So is the question how they will behave for the,
The question is whether you have tested them or whether you're thinking about testing them.
No, we have not tested them. We don't have current plans to do those tests either, but that's a good idea.
Norman Wilson, University of Toronto. When you're comparing the speed of EXT4 and CCFS, that's EXT4 without data journaling, right?
Yes, yes.
Do you have a feel for where EXT4 with data journaling would fit in?
So are you talking about performance or correctness?
Well, you already said something about correctness, so performance.
Okay, so correctness, they would give you the same values as CCFS. Mm. performance, we have those results in the paper. They mm-hmm. will perform worse than CCFS. Mm.
That's what I would have guessed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, one more.
Kamala, UC Santa Cruz. So my question is, have you reasoned about, or do you have any thoughts on what happens with like inter-process communication or if shared memory is used or something like that? So you have stream abstractions, but like...
So I don't... So that would actually not relate to what we are doing much, inter-process communication. What might be a concern is that if you have two separate sets of processes that you consider independent applications and have put in separate streams, but then they actually talk to each other and form some sort of global application, then the updates from both those applications might get reordered even in CCFS because you have put them in separate streams.
That's true, but would the consistency not be affected if you have shared memory and
If two processes are actually talking to each other and the data consistency depends on how they talk, then they need to be put in the same stream. You cannot put them in two different streams.
Thank you.